In our next couple of studies in Mark, we'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. We're entering a very important portion of our Lord's earthly ministry. Jesus is still in the city of Capernaum. He has achieved the status of a celebrity in that town. Everywhere he goes, the people flock to him to witness his miracles and to hear his message. In this particular passage before us, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and the people of Capernaum flock around him to hear what he'll say and to see what he will do. On one level, the ministry of Jesus is doing very well. The common man is excitedly following Jesus as he ministers, but conflict is beginning to develop between Jesus and the religious leaders. They are already offended by him, by his actions in Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. If you remember in our last couple of studies, we saw in Mark 2, in beginning in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" The common man is excited, and conflict is beginning to brew between Jesus and the religious leaders. Who is this man? Who is this man who can forgive sins? It is but God alone. The scandal is beginning. The scandal is starting. He is starting to shock the religious people, upset the religious people. They find him unacceptable, the things that he's saying. He's beginning to offend the religious people. They're becoming indignant towards him. They're beginning to resent him. And we're going to see a few of the reasons why, besides that he said, "Go, your sins are forgiven." The Jewish leaders are watching Jesus Christ very closely. He's made his identity as God in the flesh very clear by forgiving sins. As I said, the leaders are watching him closely. They're trying to find some reasons to attack his ministry. They're looking for fault. And they'll find plenty about the Lord Jesus and his work that they do not like. Beginning here and continuing through Mark 3:6, there'll be a series of scandals. There'll be a series of things that upset and shock individuals. Jesus Christ shocks and upsets the status quo. People find them unacceptable, offensive. They become indignant towards Christ. And we find in our text the reasons why that there are scandals. First, there's scandals because of his relationship to sinners. There's scandals we'll find over the Sabbath. There's scandals over certain sacraments. And these scandals will culminate with the Jewish leaders looking for a way to put Jesus Christ to death. In this passage, we're considering, focuses on the first of these scandals that I mentioned. These verses deal with the scandal over sinners. For the next couple studies in Mark's Gospel, we'll focus on our scandalous Savior. Christ is a scandal to people. As I said, he shocks, he upsets, he's unacceptable, he's offensive, and he causes people to become indignant and resentful over the things that he does. Let's look at the verses today and begin to look at the scandal over sinners. I think there's much help in these verses for God's people and for lost people alike. If you would be listening to this message today and you've never been saved, this message may be quite apropos for you. Let the Lord speak to your heart as we study these verses together. Look at Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Levi, the tax collector. As Jesus walked along the shores of Galilee, he passed a man named Levi, who was working at the booth where taxes were collected. Since Capernaum was on the caravan route between east and west, a lot of trade traffic passed through the town. Taxes were collected on everything that passed through the town. Taxes would also be levied against the fish that was caught on the Sea of Galilee. Levi had probably collected taxes from Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Levi was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government, collecting taxes for the empire. The Romans came up with a tax quota for each province in the empire. They allowed their nobles to bid on the contracts for collecting the taxes in each area. These nobles usually hired locals to collect the taxes. As long as they met their quota, Rome didn't care how much more they collected. And as a result, the tax collectors became very rich. Look with me at Luke 19, verse 2. Another tax collector. Luke 19, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was rich. The tax collectors, as they overcharged the people, paid Rome. They kept the difference for themselves, and they became very rich. Publicans, like Levi, were notoriously dishonest. In ancient Rome, there was actually a monument erected to honor one honest tax collector. They were the outcasts in Jewish society. They were the outcasts, not only in Jewish society, in Roman society, that they would build a monument in Rome if they found one honest tax collector. They were outcast. They were looked down upon. Because Levi was a tax collector for Rome, he was among the most despised people in Israel. I'm trying to show you, I'm trying to paint a picture of a man that was hated. Just think of men and women that are hated today. We all know of different men and women. Heroin addicts, prostitutes, thieves, robbers, whatever it is that so offends you, so offends society, those in society, you fill in the blank what it is, but they were the outcasts, the despised ones. Levi, he was viewed as a traitor to his people and to his nation, and he was. As a tax collector, he would have been isolated in the community. He would have not been allowed to go to the temple or to the synagogue. He was a social outcast who could only socialize with other tax collectors and other down and out and down right sinners. He was a hated man in Capernaum. I would imagine that Levi also was a disappointment to his parents. He was from the tribe of Levi, and he would have been raised to serve in the temple, or he would have been trained in the scripture to be a scribe. I'm sure that Levi's parents had great expectations for their son. They had hoped he'd follow in his father's footsteps and be a religious man. Instead, Levi becomes a traitor, turning his back on his family, on his nation, and upon his God. The man we are introduced to in these verses is a wicked man. He is defiled, despised, disillusioned, and he is a disappointment. In other words, Levi doesn't have anything to commend himself to the Lord. He's a wreck. He's wretched, and ruined. And where I'm going with this, I'm sure you may even be getting a hint of it, is how many of you listening, how many of us have come from a life of disappointment, of being despised, of being defiled, of being the black sheep of the family, of being a disappointment, of having many expectations put on us. How many of us have been the outcast? The outcast. But Christ has come for the outcast. Let us look as Jesus passes by. Notice what he does. He issues a command. A simple command in verse 14 of Mark 2. As he passed by, he saw Levi. He said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. He arose and he followed him. Christ issues a simple command to Levi, "Follow me." This is a present tense command that literally means be following me. Not at a later time, now. Do it now. It's a call for Levi to leave his old life behind and to begin a new life of following Jesus Christ. Why would Jesus have any use for a man like this? There is only one word to answer that question. And that word is grace. Grace, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like Levi. That saved a wretch like the woman that had five husbands that Christ called for her to bring out. The one that was possessed by demons. The prostitutes, the thieves, the murderers, the homosexuals, the lesbians, the pedophiles that Christ has saved over the years. The outcast of society is only one word, and that's grace. In spite of Levi's occupation, his lifestyle, his failures, and his sin, Jesus Christ saved Levi and calls him to a new life. And he calls you and I to a new life today. And he says, "Follow me. Follow me." The scripture says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Do you hear the voice of Christ today speaking through an ambassador of his, saying to you, "Come, boy, come, girl, come, man, come, woman, come." Whatever your lot in life is, no matter where you find yourself, if you find yourself in the White House or the outhouse, come. If you find yourself in a big house or a small house, come. If you find yourself in no house, come. Come and follow Christ. Christ is calling. Christ sets a good example for us. He's walking and he's looking for someone to touch as he went about his day. Even today, I'm crying out to you to come, to follow Christ. Just as Christ said to Levi in the text. He saw Levi sitting at the tax office. He said to him, "Follow me. Come, follow Christ." No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Christ would say to you, "Follow me." I'm glad that Jesus Christ loves the lost. I'm glad Jesus Christ loves the outcast. I'm glad he calls lost sinners to come to him without regard to who they are or what they've done. Come. It doesn't matter what you have done. No matter how bad, how far you think that you have gone. Christ says to you, "Come." I'm glad he left the door open, for he says, "Whosoever will, come. Come." And he's promised to turn no one away. If you would simply come, in John 6, verse 37, it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." You see right there, I will him by no means cast out. That's the name of today's message, the outcast. He will him by no means cast out. He says to come. You who've been an outcast all your life. You who have shocked people, upset people, who have become unacceptable to people, offended people. People are indignant towards you. They resent you. But Christ isn't. Christ stands with open arms and says, come. The scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. I don't care where your station is in life. Boy, girl, old, young, disabled, ugly, pretty, wicked, downright wicked. Because you know why? It doesn't matter who you are. If you will come, why Christ says to come and to follow me. Because the scripture says, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. It's just a question of how much have you sinned. But that's the beauty of grace. Grace doesn't say you've sinned too much. Grace says, come, I'll forgive you. And not only will I forgive you, I'll adopt you as a son or a daughter. I'll bring you into my family. I'll give you eternal life. I'll make you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come. I will redeem you. I will restore you. I will reconcile you to God Almighty. Whosoever will, come. What do we learn so far in these verses? No one is beyond hope. Do you feel hopeless today? There's nobody beyond hope. I'm sure that most people in Capernaum, they had given up on Levi. The good religious people of the city snubbed at him as they lifted up their nose as they passed by, wrote him off as a lost cause. Jesus, however, loved him. He loved him in spite of his past and his problems, and he delivered Levi from the bondage of his sins, the penalty of his sins, and the power of his sins. He gave him new life. What do we learn in the text? No one is beyond the reach of our redeeming Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where you are, come. It's not hopeless. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. No one is beyond hope. Jesus knows how to reach our loved ones. Our loved ones. Levi's parents did not know how to reach their son. They had done the best they could in raising him, and now they feel helpless to save him. Parent, do you feel that way? They may have even given up all hope. He was making money, he became powerful, they had no way to get his attention. Mom or dad, has that happened to your child? They're making money, they're powerful. You feel there's no way to get their attention? Jesus, however, knew where Levi was, and he knew how to reach Levi. One word from the Master, and Levi's life was changed forever. The Lord knows where you're lost loved ones are, and what it will take to reach them. What are we learning in our passage? Never give up. Never give up on that outcast. In God's time and in God's way, he'll touch them for his glory. And I can testify to that personally. For I was an outcast. Take hope. No one is beyond hope. God knows how to reach your wayward loved ones. Christ comes. He changes people. Levi would be given a new name after he was saved. He would become known as Matthew. He would be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He would even write a gospel. And God had redeemed what had been lost. Remember, Levi was from the tribe of Levi. He would have been trained in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, in the things of God. All of that training the Lord redeemed. And this Levi would give his life for the Lord who saved his soul. Consider where you are today. You are there because He loved you. He saved you. And He reconciled you to God. Jesus redeems your life. He restores what the moth has eaten. Realize this. Many of us play God in the sense that we think we know what's going on in an individual's heart. It's impossible to know what's happening in an individual's heart. I get the idea that along with all of Levi's other problems, that he was disillusioned and disappointed with his life, even though he had became rich, became a person of power. When Jesus Christ called, he did not hesitate. He left everything to follow Jesus Christ. Levi gave up more to follow Christ than the rest of the disciples. The others could go back, but notice what Luke 5, verse 28 said. If you remember why I'm saying Levi gave up everything, if you remember, it says in one of the Gospels that Peter went back to fishing. But look what it says about Levi in Luke 5, verse 28. Well, I'll start at verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." Notice verse 28. So he left all. He rose up and followed him. He left all. There was no going back. You who would be an outcast, there'd be no going back. You make a clean, permanent break where you pass. You repent and you believe. And what I'm saying to you, to not give up hope, to keep on praying for that loved ones. God was already working on Levi's heart. God already had moved on this man. That wayward son or daughter, that one that you think is beyond hope, God can change him. God can change him. God changed Levi. We even see God in Acts 9:5 changing the heart of a fine religious person that thought they were doing the will of God. So not only are tax collectors outcasts, but fine religious people are outcasts too. Look at Acts 9, verse 5. Let's start at verse 4. Let's start at verse 3, Acts 9. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, notice that word suddenly, when God shows up, suddenly, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said to him, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." That means basically like a stick, you're prodding animals to move. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Notice, arise and go. The same as the Lord saying to Levi, to follow me. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice from seeing no one. Realize, we started at Acts 9, verse 3, but look at verses 1 and 2. The condition of the person that Jesus Christ just came to. Just like Levi was the outcast. Just like you and I were the outcast. Or maybe you today are listening and you're still an outcast. Take heart. If you be Levi, a despised tax collector, maybe you're a thief on Wall Street. Maybe you've stolen this. You've stolen the other thing. You've stolen the love of a woman and left her. Look at Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way is what the early Christians were called, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Here was Saul, religious man, Pharisee of the Pharisees, rabbi of the rabbis, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And Christ shows up to him and saves him and tells him, arise and go. That's why no one is beyond hope. Jesus knows how to reach everyone and anyone that he pleases. Jesus Christ comes and he redeems, he reconciles, and he restores. And we must remember it's impossible to know what's happening in the heart of an individual. You do not know when God comes and regenerates someone. Regeneration takes place before you see that faith manifested. It's a gift of God, regeneration and faith. And today I would, if you are saved, then remember what the psalmist said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Child of God, if you've become apathetic and cold towards God, remember his gifts. Forget not his benefits. He regenerated you. He granted you faith that you would believe the message. And it was because of his grace that he shone towards you, his sovereign grace. He sovereignly chose you, even as we saw in the text, he sovereignly chose Saul. Because the men in that text, they journeyed with him, they stood speechless, the men that were with him, and they heard a voice and they saw no one. But Saul was chosen. Saul was elected unto salvation. And you, if you've been elected unto salvation, if you've been regenerated, you have much to be thankful, child of God. Repent of your sin, of your hardness of heart towards God, and remember all he's done for you. How you were an outcast, and he brought you into your family. How thankful should we be? And you today, if you be outside of Christ, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, regenerated, if you haven't become a new creature, then I would say to you today, as Christ said to Levi, follow me, follow Christ. Follow Christ. Come to him, and he will in no wise cast you out. Whosoever will, come. Have you ruined your life? Have you made a wreck of your life? Or maybe you've become a movie star. You're famous. You're rich. But then come too. Because the scripture says, what does it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world and forfeit his soul? See, you can gain the whole world and forfeit your soul. And what was it worth? 70, 80, 90, 100 years of glory here? And then a hell for all eternity? That's not too good of a deal. Christ would say to you, outcast, come.